My guest, and I'm very happy to welcome him back, is Chris Farrell. Chris has spent much of his professional life reporting and writing on economics and helping people make the most of their money. His new book is entitled Unretirement: How Baby Boomers Are Changing the Way We Think About Work, and it's a wonderful book. I highly, highly recommend it. And the book also turns this retirement argument on its head and does away with a lot of doom and gloomers about the state of retirement in America. Hey, Chris, welcome once again back to my show.
Thanks for having me. I always love it.
Thanks. So you recently wrote an article that caught my attention, and in some ways, some new ways, the way Americans may want to rethink the current Social Security issue. I mean, Congress is at a stalemate, and there are always those who are sending out alarms about the financial viability of the Social Security system. And to date, a lot of the talk has been centered around either cutting benefits or eliminating the ceiling for paying the Social Security tax, and neither of these have gone very far. What else can we do?
Okay, so I think there's a couple of things. And part of it, there's Steven Landsberg. He's an economist at the University of Rochester, and he wrote this book years ago called The Armchair Economist. And he said, look, you know, when it comes to economics, really the only catchphrase you need to know is that incentives matter. And I think he's partially right there. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about Social Security, you know, one of the things that's going on in our society is people are working longer, right? I mean, and we're all kind of figuring it out. I mean, what does that really mean? Is it part-time work, flexible work, you know, maybe starting your own business, maybe being a temp employee? You know, what exactly is that? And one of the things I think we need to do with Social Security is use Social Security to create incentives for people to work longer. Because if people continue to work longer, they pay more taxes, they contribute more to the system, it's good for household finances. And so in a very basic way, in a background way, it helps shore up Social Security.
Yeah, so the idea, the way Social Security is looked at now is you have these milestones, the age 62, the age 66, perhaps age 70, and somehow it indicates that just think everything stops and you collect a paycheck, but that's not really the way it is anymore.
That's not the way it is anymore. So one of the ideas out there is from John Chauvin. He's an economist at Stanford University, and he's been making the rounds. He's been arguing this for years. And what he says is what? Let's say you've worked for 35, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're paid up into Social Security. You don't pay into the system anymore. Your employer doesn't pay in anymore.
Yeah.
So there's no tax thing.
Okay, so like an insurance policy in the kind of way that you could pay premiums until a certain point in certain kinds of policies where you're paid up. You're done paying premiums and your benefits are set.
Right. And so at that point, what then happens is it's an immediate boost to your pay.
Right.
And you're cheaper to your employer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an incentive to keep people working. That's the kind of thing I'd like to see us thinking about a lot more. And there's a lot of examples out there. There's another one that comes from, she's wonderful, pension economist at Wharton, Olivia Mitchell, and a couple of her colleagues. And what they've done, and I think this is really smart, they say, okay, let's say you get your full retirement benefit, which is one of those weird Social Security terms. As you mentioned, you can file at 62, mm-hmm. but for most boomers, if they wait till age 66, they get what's called their full retirement benefit.
Right.
Okay? So let's say you go to age 66, but you work another year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But you lock in your benefit at age 66, and that extra year is paid to you as a lump sum.
Wow. A lump sum.
Now, they do all this complicated econometric calculations, but basically what they say, it's a real incentive for people to work longer.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they don't really have any downside risk, right? Because they have their benefit at age 66.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out there's just for a variety of reasons for, you know, you want to pass on money to your children. You want to invest some money on your own. There's a lot of reasons why people kind of like that lump sum option.
So you would still get your Social Security benefit, which was locked in, paid up, and so on. But if you worked extra, you would get a lump sum. Now, I guess if you worked even longer, let's say you worked
a bigger lump sum.
Yeah, you get a bigger lump sum.
Exactly.
So that matches up real life with incentives, and then it's also voluntary. So if you choose, you know, you're done, you've worked enough, you know, you'll go into the sunset, you'll get your Social Security benefit.
And this is sort of an aside. This isn't going to cost us any money.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for everybody, and I do this, and you just did it when you mentioned you can file for Social Security starting at age 62. We all say that. That's like the first sentence that comes out of our mouth when it comes to thinking about filing for Social Security benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last year that you can file for Social Security benefits and you get the maximum benefit is age 70, right? And the difference between filing at age 70 and filing at age 62 is the benefit's more than 75% larger.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think we should all do is say, you can file for Social Security benefits at age 70. That's your starting place. Now, if for health reasons, you have reasons why you need to file earlier, mm-hmm. you can file at age 66, you can file at age 63, age 62. Yes, you can file earlier, but your starting place.
The maximum benefit is 70.
Yeah, that's right.
And you work backwards from there. So it's the same thing, but it's a reorientation psychologically.
It's a framing. And we know framing is important.
Yeah.
And then sort of make a leap is, you know, I find it really upsetting that about a third of American households do not have access to an employer-sponsored retirement savings plan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, you can set up an IRA, but let's all be real here.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you're right. You know, the employer-sponsored retirement savings plan really does make a difference because it comes out of your paycheck automatically every, you know, whatever your pay period is. So it's a big deal. And I really do think that if people are going to be working longer, and as you say, you know, all this kind of experimentation with what that means, I really do think we need to put like a massive IRA, a massive 401k on top of everybody's Social Security.
Hmm. Well, give us some more explanation of what that means.
Actually. So, and what that means, you know, we have really one of the great and absolutely great 403b defined contribution pension plans, you know, the one like a 401k,
yeah,
is the federal government's thrift savings plan.
Okay.
Has a limited number of options. You know, got a big stock market option. You got a big bond market option. You got a limited number of options. You barely pay anything in fees. Barely.
Right.
All right. So put that on top of Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And then what could happen is people could put some money in. They could ask their employer to put some of their money in automatically, and it could adjust. I mean, you can play with it. But then all of a sudden, for the first time in U.S. history, because right now, Social Security is our national pension plan. That's it.
Right.
That's the only national pension plan we have. And I think that we need to encourage people to save more, make it really easy, available to everybody. And then my own opinion is you're going to unleash a lot of work. You're going to make it easier for people to experiment. You're going to create an incentive for people to experiment. Okay, if it doesn't work out, you go try something else. But along the way, you still have a retirement savings plan that you're at least contributing something to.
You know, I can already hear the screams of the investment industry.
Yeah, you're right.
The lobbyists in Washington. No, that'll never work. What about payroll tax relief? You know, when you are accruing your Social Security benefit,
yeah,
it's a formula that takes into account a worker's highest 35 years of earnings.
Yeah.
How can we change that to benefit?
Well, the thing that you could do is actually just sort of extend it. And part of it is that sort of paid up notion.
Yeah.
You could extend the number of years. Part of where extending the number of years doesn't probably affect a lot of people
yeah.
is that most of us, we've hit our peak already, right?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
The last couple of years, you're kind of, you know, you're making less money. You may not be working as many hours. You're not getting the promotions.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But still, I would go out to 40 years but create this incentive that says, look, you know, you keep working. Keep working.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have to contribute to the system anymore. You've done your job. So again, I think the whole thing about Social Security is thinking about there is this massive grassroots wave of people wanting to work longer, needing to work longer, and the wanting is because we're educated and we're healthier. The need is not because we went to the mall, but you know, it's really expensive to educate your kids, and it's hard to save during that period of time. And you may have worked for an employer that doesn't offer you a retirement savings plan, which is a lot of small businesses.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So again, this isn't because people are bad. It's because life is hard and there's a lot of demands on our money. So what we want to do is make it really easy for people to save. And then the thing is, that's cheaper on the federal purse.
Mm-hmm.
That's cheaper on the future taxpayers of America. And it gives the individual a lot more freedom and control over their lives as they age.
My guest is Chris Farrell. He is the senior economics contributor at Marketplace, American Public Media's nationally syndicated program. Plus the author of the book, Unretirement, How Baby Boomers Are Changing the Way We Think About Work. What about this idea about allowing people in their 50s to take a gap year? That was pretty interesting. What was that?
Well, I love this idea. And I don't know if you've had conversations like with a lawyer or an academic and, you know, they take a sabbatical.
Yeah, I always wanted to do that.
Or a couple or a quarter,
yeah.
You know, a period of time. And they just recharge their batteries.
Yeah.
And they oftentimes will go somewhere else. And there's also this interesting research that I have in the book that I thought was really by a couple economists at the RAND, and they're looking at full-time workers and noticing how many full-time workers, when they retired, went back to work within 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But then what they said is, oh, well, that's because financial need, right? That's what we would automatically assume. They needed money.
Right.
Well, going to the data, no, it turns out what they really needed was a long vacation.
Yeah.
And then they want to go back to work. So the thing about the sabbatical is, and I've run across so many people who have had a primary career, they've had their jobs, they want to do something else. What is it? What do you want to do? And so if you could tap into your Social Security for a year to help fund this period of exploration,
mm-hmm.
and you can, you know, this is what you hire actuaries for. You can make it actuarially neutral so that you're not draining more from the system. You make adjustments, taking into account that you took this gap year, this sabbatical year,
mm-hmm.
And so you're not getting any extra out of Social Security. But I think it would really help a lot of people in this exploration, again, this experimentation. What does it mean? What is it that I want to do next?
A gap year for grown-ups. I like it.
Gap year for grown-ups. I mean, and it's a healthy thing for many kids. Why not for adults?
I agree. Chris Farrell, as always, the book is Unretirement, How Baby Boomers Are Changing the Way We Think About Work, Community, and the Good Life. Chris, once again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot.